We're looking at the first five verses, or at least we're looking down to the first sentence in the fifth verse. Revelation 21, verses 1 through the first sentence in verse 5. If you're able to stand, would you do so? I'd like to read God's word in your hearing, and then we're going to solicit his help as we try to unpack this and understand more about what awaits the believer in the future. Revelation 21, 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Excuse me. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And finally, verse 5, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Amen. Father, we humble ourselves before you again, and we come to you asking you to help us to see and understand what you are saying to your people. And then, Lord, grant us grace to apply it to our lives properly, and then to order our lives in accordance with your will. We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject again today is I am making all things new. And real quickly, let's connect the dots and make sure that we're all together as we start today. What we've learned in the past 2 or 3 weeks already is that heaven and earth were both corrupted by sin, right? So heaven and earth must be purged. And God is going to effectively do that. We saw this term in Revelation 21:1, that the new heaven and the old heaven and the old earth would pass away. That term means cleansed or purged and not annihilated, okay? I won't take you through all that reasoning, but I believe there's, even though there are theologians that disagree, that some that believe that the new heaven and the earth will come because the old one have been annihilated, I happen not to hold to that view. And so the new heaven and the new earth will be cleansed and purged. The other thing that we saw there in verse 1 is there would be no more sea, right? Because the sea stands for separation and turbulence, and it's a place of death. There'll be no place for that in the new heaven and the new earth, right? And then last week, we saw in verse 2, it talks about this holy city, right? This holy city in New Jerusalem. And you remember that when you're studying prophetic books are filled with images and symbolism, right? And so this holy city in this New Jerusalem actually represents God's people. Okay, and we went and talked to you about that to understand that it represents strength and stability and all the kinds of things that the children were talking about that they want if they were in a new home, right? So this holy city in New Jerusalem represents God's people. And then lastly, last week we saw that in the new heaven and the new earth, God is going to dwell with his people personally. This is phenomenal. No man has ever seen God. But we will.
Amen.
Isn't this phenomenal? 1 Corinthians 13, y'all remember that whole scenario there? Paul says, in this life we look through a mirror dimly. You remember that? It's blurred images. But on that day, in that time, we will see him what? Face to face. And we will know as we are what? Fully known. This is phenomenal. We sing this old song, He walks with me and he talks with me. Oh, yeah. Isn't this good?
Yes, it is.
You won't need to sing the song anymore. Because it will be what? reality. You won't have to live out that old Corinthians verse. You won't be saying, I walk by what? Faith and sight. I'm walking by sight. I see God. Isn't this good? Hallelujah. That's what's in front of us. Because he's faithful. Faithful. Isn't that good? So today, I'm trying to follow Brother Billy's pattern, and we try to. Dan told me that I got to be careful with gagging y'all. And he's right. I mean, sometimes he tell me, Dad, sermon was 55 minutes long. And I said, what? Yeah. So I'm working on it. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to restrain myself. I don't want anybody leaving here gagging and going, oh, you know. So we're going to take bite size today, all right? Hopefully. It may not be bite size of you, but we're going to try to take a bite size today. Now, so far, you remember this is the outline that we're working from. In verses 1 and 2, what we were looking for was what John saw, right? In verse 3, what we considered was what John heard. And then finally in verses 4 and 5, we're going to talk about what God did, okay? And so far, then we've addressed what John saw, right, in verses 1 and 2. And essentially what John saw was a new heaven and a new earth filled with new people who are going to live with God forever. What? Absolutely wonderful. That's reality. Steven Spielberg or no one else can do that. You can't manufacture this reality. This is our future. A new heaven and a new earth filled with new people that are going to live with God forever. How long is forever? Oh, this is wonderful. Okay, moving on. I'd like to camp there too, but we're moving on. So what did John hear? We saw a little bit of what he heard last week. A part of what he heard is that God is going to dwell with his people. Okay? He's going to dwell with us. He's going to be there. We'll be in the new heaven and in the new earth, but what makes it wonderful is that God will be there. Right? So, today I want to look at the second part of what John heard. And this may be news to many of you, and that's okay. That's okay that, you know, you may have been taught differently, and I don't want you to think I'm an oracle. But I do want you to be challenged by the truth. Not me. Right? The Bible says you'll what? Know the truth and what? Truth sets you free. I can't do it. Truth set me free. And my job to teach you is for you to be free. And if that's the case, then I've done my job. Right? Now, setting people free doesn't always make you popular. Go back and read the prophet, read the life. Look at what they did to Jesus. Jesus came to set people free, and what did they do? They killed him. People think they want to be free until you tell them the way. Then you find out they love darkness more than light. We good? So let's look at this real quick. Well, I won't say real quick, but we're going to move through this. All right. What I want to begin with is for you to think about this. The place where God dwells is the same place his people dwell. Now, I want you to think about that a few minutes, because this may be new to you. Verse 3, teaches us that where God is going to dwell in the future is the same place his people are going to dwell. We good so far?
Yeah.
Where God dwells is where his people will be forever. All right? Now, by the way, when you think about God dwelling with his people and fellowshipping with them, and I talked about walking with God, Adam and Eve experienced that in the garden, right? They experienced what it means to fellowship with God, to interact with him. You remember the Bible said God came to them. He was walking in the cool of the day. And so they knew what it meant to fellowship with God until sin disrupted that tranquility and that peace. You and I have never, since Adam and Eve brought that breach, and they were what? They were banned. The Christ has come to be our peace, and so we've got a semblance of it right now. But this is going to be fullness of the real peace, right? And so the place where God dwells is the same place his people dwell. This is going, again, for some of you, this is new. But here's the premise that I believe the Bible teaches. Heaven and earth will no longer be separated. And I'm going to show you that, but get this in your mind. The old has what? Passed away. Behold, what is he doing? I'm making all things new. And so you can't think the way the old heaven and the old earth operated. That design isn't necessary anymore. Follow me? So there's no longer any separation between heaven, the new heaven, and the new earth. Because where God dwells is the same place what? His people dwell. We good? All right. So, let's keep going. The new heaven and the new earth, then, are now joined together eternally. Okay? That separation is gone because paradise has been what? Restored. Jesus teaching the first disciples and us vicariously pray, he said, your kingdom come, what? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It will be. You, right? That's what we pray for, and that's what will happen. 2 Peter 3, Peter says, we're waiting for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And that's what's coming. Can you all turn to Revelation 11 and verse 15? This is a wonderful little verse. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the saints say, amen. And he shall reign. Y'all know that song? Forever. And ever and ever and ever. He will. It's going to be restored. And you and I will finally get to know what true paradise is. Again, we don't have to turn there. But, well, yeah, we do. This is probably good for you to see. Can you turn to Genesis 3? Rather than just me just talking about it, it just be good for you to look at it and see God speak for himself. You know the account because you've read through Genesis last week. But let's just take a look at, start with verse 22. Now this is after God has come and he's told Adam and Eve and the serpent the consequences of sin. Notice this grave consequence that comes at the end. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, why is that of concern? God doesn't want Adam and Eve to live forever in that fallen condition. That's great. That's mercy and grace, isn't it? So to prevent them from doing that, because he knows if they stay there in the garden, in paradise, that that's what will happen. So God is about to commit a gracious act it wasn't probably understood fully by Adam and Eve, and I hope that you do. You see verse 23? Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Now, this ground is different than the ground back in the garden. Because he said, out there, the ground's no longer going to be cooperating with you. You're going to, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to make a living. And everyone in here knows that that's right. Amen. Work is hard. You see verse 24? He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, I wanted you to see this. He placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. That was closed off from us. You and I, everyone born, every child, Seth and all the children, never knew that great privilege that Adam and Eve did. But you and I are going to get to experience that. And there won't be any cherubim there saying you can't come here, right? But see, that was an act of grace by God to prevent fallen sinners from being in that perpetual state. Now, sadly, I guess we'll talk about this next week. Those who've rejected Christ are going to know the most awful misery that has ever. God has actually created a place to bring pain and agony forever. You and I can't fathom what that's going to be like. But we'll talk about that next week, okay? So right here, we see that paradise is going to be restored, even though at one point in time, all of humanity was banned. The new earth is going to be fruitful, just as the garden was, all right? It's going to be productive. It's going to be peaceful and joyful, and it's going to be filled with righteousness. Now, some of the most descriptive terminology about the new earth is found in Isaiah. So could you turn back to Isaiah 65? And listen at how God himself describes how the new earth will be. You got Isaiah 65? Let's start with verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. Now, see, if you read this in the past, you might not have understood that this Jerusalem he's talking about here is what? New Jerusalem. This has nothing to do with old Israel or the Israelite race. This is what? New Jerusalem. This is all of God's people that are in Christ, right? Drop down to verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my, shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. By the way, these are pictures and images. Nobody's going to be having children in eternal life. But these are what, see, when the Bible communicates with us, it has to do it in terms that we can relate to, okay? So he's saying that you can't think of eternal life the way old life has been, okay? With the problems that women have had in childbirth and sicknesses and, you know, and all those kind. That's all what passed away, okay? So he's giving terminology to help us relate to that. You got it? They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Look at this. Before they call, what? I will answer. What? While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that good news? The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Okay? So this is symbolism. You got it? But you see the place of tranquility, the place of productiveness. There's another wonderful text. Can you find Isaiah 11? Some more. And I point you to these because it talks about our place, our future home, right? I'm just giving you this is just an appetizer. You can go back and check out some of this for yourself. Isaiah 11, can you find verse 6? The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young children shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Look at this. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the natures inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. That ought to whet your appetite. Yeah. Yeah. This is good. Amen. This is good stuff, right? And again, 2 Peter says, we're waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. My brother, my sister, this is the plan. For us, Abraham, now follow me, we're getting close. Abraham and all true believers will finally inherit the promised land. You say, what? Wait a minute, they got into Canaan? Come on. Do you believe that that's all God wanted for his people is a piece of dirt over in Asia? Right? Christian, we've got to grow up. We've got to mature. We've got to see God is great. Yeah. It's no problem for God to give you a piece of dirt. Yeah. His plans are so much bigger than that. Yeah. Right? And so, just as the Old Testament, that was a type. That was a picture, an image for you and I to learn from. And I want to show you something. Abraham knew it. Abraham knew this is not the place. I arrived here, but this, excuse me, ain't it. Show me, Brother Willie, turn to Hebrews 11. You find Hebrews 11? See that paragraph that starts with verse 8? Hebrews 11, the paragraph that starts with verse 8. Let's read it together. You listen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. You got it? God told him, I'm going to send you to a place that's going to be your inheritance. Abraham said, yes, Lord. Amen. Right? You know the story. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the promise. For he was... Now, here's when it gets good. You got verse 10? For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is getting interesting, isn't it? By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the sea. Now, go with me. At the next paragraph, verse 13. This is important. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were what? Strangers and exiles on the earth. For the people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Here's a verse. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is what? Heaven. Heavenly one. Even Abraham, no, this dirt ain't the heaven. This ain't the dirt God's talking about. God didn't send me here to live with Canaanites and Amorites and Perizzites. And no, this is not it. How you know Abraham? By faith. My God's bigger than that. Now thank him for all that he's done. I thank him for my house. You thank him for your house. Thank him for transportation. Thank him for jobs. Thank him for, you know, medical care. I thank God for all that. But this is not it. Thank God for that. Thank God for medicine and glasses and all. But I'm so thankful that this ain't the way it's. This is not it. It gets so much better. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them what? City. Is that in your Bible? That's for Abraham and all his descendants. And by the way, I would quote this, but let's turn to Galatians 3 so you can see it for yourself. See it with your own eyes and your own Bible. You got Galatians 3? Got Galatians 3? Verse 29. It's in your Bible. And if you are Christ, that in your Bible? Yeah. Then you are what? Abraham. What? Yeah. What? Yeah. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. He promised Abraham the promised land, and all those who believe like Abraham are going to the same promised land. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And you remember what Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples, they call it the Beatitudes. Remember what he said? Blessed are what? The meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Did he mean that? Sure he did. Isn't that good? And then Jesus was getting ready to go. You remember that? And he says, you know, you're getting ready to die. And he says, what? Let not your heart what? Be troubled. Believe in God. Believe what? Also in me. In my Father's house. What is that? His house is this whole new earth that's coming. He's got a big house. In my Father's house. Old King James says mansion. It's not mansions. Even our new translation says rooms. The point is, there's plenty of room in God's new house. Amen. For all of God's children. Yeah. Everybody's got room on the new earth.
Yeah. Come on, sir. Come on. Yes, sir. Yeah.
If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I will what? Come again. Take you to myself, that where I am, there you will be. Where? On the new earth. This is good news. Oh! All for his children. This world, you don't get swept away. This world, just like Romans 1. It's on a downward spiral. The best we can do is like, what do we study in Men's Fellowship? You light, shine while you can.
Yeah.
Be salt while you can.
Amen.
Try to help someone. John says, try to snatch them out.
Yeah.
Because it's like a sewer.
Yeah.
You watch a sink drain.
Mm-hmm.
It's and you try to, as a vessel for Christ, you're trying to save someone in that sewer. Because you were in it.
Yeah.
You were in the sewer at one time.
Yeah.
And he just sends you back to try to help those who will believe.
Yeah.
Who want to go to a better home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying, Billy. I'm trying. All right. So, Abraham and all true believers will finally inherit the land. And I guess I'll try to end right here. So here's a wonderful thing. Our resurrected bodies, we're going to be able to eat. Did y'all know that?
Amen. Come on, brother.
What? Yeah. And drink.
Mm-hmm.
And work.
Yeah.
No, I thought we were going to play harps and float around. Where do we get that from? That's a Christmas card theology and whatever. God, we're going to have purpose every day.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose.
Thank you, Lord.
Reason. That's good. I mean, God, his Father.
Yeah.
And so everybody's going to have a reason every day
to
get up. You know, we're not going to be tired. And all, you know what I'm saying? Every day is going to have meaning. What's the old song? Every day will be what? A day of what? Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
But our resurrected bodies are going to be able to eat and drink and work and serve the Lord and worship and praise him. But the wonderful thing is that we'll be able to do that forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Forever. There won't be any job changes. There won't be any bosses overlooking you and, not giving you a cost of living. Not treating. No, you see, it's going to be so. Don't get discouraged. This system is drowning. It's going down. Think of all the people trying to prop it up. Can't do it. Can't be propped up. There's a destiny. All of the world's kingdoms have become the kingdom of the Lord. It's going down. Jesus is coming. Every mountain will be what? Made low.
Amen.
He's coming.
Yeah.
All right. I know you say, well, you just threw this thing out here about eating. Well, I'm just prove it to you. Luke, turn to Luke 24. Y'all do know Jesus was resurrected, so we'll know how life will be for us.
Amen.
He's been the first and only one. Not restored. Now, Lazarus, and there's been lots of people restored back to life. I'm not talking about being restored back to life. Lazarus was restored back to life, but Lazarus did what? Lazarus died again. And others that have been restored back to life. But Luke 24, let me see, where am I going here? Verses 41, 42, and 43. Can you find that? Luke 24, verses 41, 42, and 43. Remember that Jesus is the model of what a resurrected body is going to, what our body is going to, how it's going to be. You got 41? Now Jesus has come to, he appears to the disciples, and of course they think he's a ghost. You think of it. You've never seen anybody, not just restored for life, but somebody resurrected. He was dead. And now here he is talking. That's the reason they were so shocked. And so from their perspective, he was a ghost. Jesus says, no, I'm not a ghost. I'm flesh and bone. And now he's going to shock them. He's going to shock them to the core. And this is what you need to learn about the resurrected body. You got it? And while they were still, while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? What? Why is a ghost asking me for something to eat? Ain't God good?
Yes, he is.
Gets all that fantasy stuff out. See, this is not a movie here. Mm-hmm. This reality. Mm-hmm. Now, they had just as rough a time with it. You remember Thomas?
Yes.
Thomas said, man, I hear what y'all are saying, but until I put my hands in the wounds, I got to see for myself. And Jesus was so, Jesus meets us right where we are. Met him there. And all that Thomas could say is, you know, Lord, forgive me. Right? Now, I got off track. So here he is saying, have you anything to eat? Now, what did they do? Got verse 42? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And what did he do? And he took it. And what? What? Yeah. That's what resurrected bodies do.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Fruit from the tree. All of the wonderful provisions of God. We're going to finally be able to... you won't have to be a vegan. We won't be eating the cows and the bulls and the sheep and the goat. Because they're going to be enjoying paradise like us. Mm-hmm. We're going to become vegans again. Mm-hmm. This is not a democracy. Mm-hmm. The new earth, the new heaven and the new earth is not a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody there will say, Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
What he says, we do.
Yeah.
If Jesus says, eat fruit and vegetables, I say, Lord, well, give it to me forever. You remember when God finally convinced Peter he needed to get his feet washed? Lord, give me a whole, don't just wash my feet, give me a whole bag. And so we're going to really, really, really enjoy the new heaven and the new earth. I guess I'm going to try to wrap this up here. The other principle to remember is found in Matthew 22. Y'all remember this? They were trying to trap Jesus, and they had this whole issue about woman. She'd had six or seven husbands. You remember that? And they died, and so the issue was when she get to heaven, you know, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus says, "Oh, you got it all wrong. There's not going to be any marriage and matter relationships in heaven. That's what? That's for this life. When they get to heaven, you are like what? Angels. There's no marriage and giving away with marriage over there. So you and I will be like angels. And God sends angels to do what? Work. Yeah. They don't run around playing harps and, you know, doing all this funny stuff that we see, man's imagination. God has purpose.
Amen.
For the rest of eternity for us.
Yeah.
Isn't this good?
Yeah.
I guess next week we probably need to talk about rewards, you know, and that kind of thing, just to so we can kind of understand this whole deal. So we're gonna stop there, all right? And so just keep these things in mind. John heard God dwelling with his people on a new earth forever. Therefore, my brothers, my sisters, my beloved brothers and sisters, this is just a little bit more detail about our glorious future. God himself has given us a little more detail, enough. He gives us enough, right, to keep us encouraged, to keep, because words just fall short of describing how wonderful this is going to be, right? John struggled with trying to describe some of the things, you know, the cities, the streets made of gold and pearl, because those are the only things that he had. Those are the only things in his vocabulary to describe. It's going to be so much wonderful, more wonderful than that. But God has given us a little information. He is the maker of heaven and earth, right? He's the master and the ruler of the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. And he is coming to make his eternal abode with his people. with us. Isn't this good news? He's coming to make his eternal abode. He will, we will enjoy his presence. We are going to enjoy God's presence and know that in his presence, you know that that psalm, there is what? Fullness of joy. We are going to know fullness of joy on the new earth with our great God. We will enjoy his fellowship and truly know that the Lord is with us always. We'll never be separated again. Never be separated again. We will enjoy serving the Lord on the new earth without the power and the presence of sin. Won't that be wonderful? We'll enjoy God's goodness. Shira said, we'll enjoy his protection and his provision, right? Without the power and the presence of sin. And we'll finally enjoy worship and praise without the penalty and the power and the presence of sin. Without distractions, we'll finally be able to worship God like we want to. All right? This is pure joy. True joy. This is our glorious future on the new earth. With our Father, the only true and living God, and with all the redeemed saints from all nations, all generations, all tribes, all languages, every one of God's children will be there for all of eternity. We're going to get to enjoy Christ and the Father and each other. Oh, we just spent all of eternity. I remember hearing one of the great singers here in St. Louis talking about getting to heaven. I'm just going to walk around. Just walk around. But on the new earth, we're just going to walk around. Enjoy. And finally enjoy. And we don't have all those distractions with sin and temptation. Satan has been done away with. Right? Nobody's attempted to steal or lie or lustful thoughts. This is going to be wonderful. Going to be wonderful.
Thank you, Lord.
It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And you remember what we've said? We're going to study eschatology, but we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the center of eschatology. And if you're not a Christian, this can be your future. It's not your future now if you're not a Christian, but it can be. But you've got to come to Christ in faith. You've got to understand that he is the only way for you to have this as your future. And he's here right now. He's here right now to receive you. But you've got to come to him simply by faith. There's nothing you need to do. Just believe. This is what Jesus said. Only what? Believe. Only believe. Father, thank you for the great plans that you have for us in Christ. And Lord, just to think that you had planned all of this from eternity past. Just to think. You had this plan for us when we were so lost, when we were so dead, when we were so far from you. You still had this as our future. And so we're so thankful that you pursued us with that electing love when we were so unlovely, when so many had given up on us, when things were so bad. We're so thankful that you loved us and we came to know you because of your love. And now, Lord, I'm asking you, bring someone to yourself today. Help them to know the love of God. The love of God that has no boundaries, that has no limitations. And to then come to see that Christ is the only way. The only way to know you. And for those that know you, Lord, I pray that you encourage and lift up the hearts of those who are heavy because of life and circumstances in this life. Help us all to keep one eye on the future as we try to live for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.